I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
How are you doing this week, Katie?
I'm still in my bed.
I feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry.
Honestly, it's like so upsetting to like not be able to walk around when it's this nice out. I think that's the hardest part.
I know.
It's like summer's here, it's gorgeous, and I can't walk.
Can you like get yourself out to the porch at least?
Oh, yeah. So I can let my dogs out, so that definitely happens.
Good. Oh, I just feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I have another doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I can kind of figure out what the hell is going on from there, which is nice. I won't be, like, in this weird unknown where it's like, is my toe connected to my body yet?
I feel like we should post a picture of your x-ray so people can truly understand that your toe just did not like, want to be a part of your body.
Fully disconnected. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll post that after we record this, actually. That's... Yeah, I guess we should at this point. Now it's the second episode in which we've referenced. reading a lot. Reading a lot about this, today's topic. So, yeah, what about you? What about you? How are you?
I've been pretty good. A lot of party planning right now. Dan and I finally getting to celebrate our marriage 2 years later with a bigger crowd of people.
Only took 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Katie has very much been helping me a lot.
Lots of planning.
Lots of planning. Lots of decorations. I have them all. They're all finally here from Target.
I know, we got to draw like a map. Like a scene chart.
I love this. I was trying to describe the venue to Katie. Katie was like, just give me a second, and literally just pulled out a whiteboard and different colored markers, and we got to work.
I'm visual. I'm a visual bitch. I gotta see it. I can't. I mean, you were describing it so well, but that is just not the way that my brain works. I was like, nope, that's not. Not gonna work from this.
Not gonna remember.
No, this zippity zappity machine does not do well with visuals.
Zippity zappity brain. So that's what I've been doing. I just had a 3-hour Zoom call right before this with my DJ to go over plans for the day.
I mean, we've had some long Zoom calls. We've had some long recording sessions, but hours.
Yeah, I think that's the longest Zoom call I've ever had, even through, like, all the work stuff I've done.
Oh, yeah, we hit, like, 2 hours, because that's how long you told me it was going to take. And even when you told me that, I was like, that's a really long time to be talking to a DJ, but okay.
And I thought it wasn't going to be as crazy, because we don't have, like, all the traditional stuff happening. It's just a party, but it really, because of that, because it's very DIY, there was more to figure out.
Yeah, I guess I don't really think about all of the logistics, but yeah, so it hit like 2.5 hours, and I texted Ashley, and I was like, just checking it.
We were supposed to record.
I just want to make sure you're all good. Yeah, but we're here now, and surprise, what started as what was going to be what one episode turned into 20 pages of notes.
So this episode is going to be a three-parter.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow. I'm excited.
I'm excited,
I know
too.
It's going to be a lot, but I think this will be pretty cool.
It's going to go all over the place, too. It gets a little heady. It gets a little historical, a little technical. It's, yeah, this is an interesting topic. I'm really excited. Yes.
I got some fun questions to ponder over from Katie yesterday.
Oh,
and I'm excited to discuss.
Well, and I'm excited to kind of put those out into the world and see if any listeners like want to discuss some of that. Because, all right, you know, we just gotta get into the episode. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we're just talking about it now. All right.
Yep.
Let's do it. Okay. So. I feel take that out. No, don't keep this all. I feel like whenever we're like going to record, I'm like, okay, like that's always how I start this, and I'm really self-conscious of it now.
So.
Okay, everybody, can you believe this? So today we're going to be talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and some of you might know what's going on with Google and one of Google's engineers, and that does come into it. But before we can even get into any of that, we need to kind of break down the rest of AI, because this was truly a world that I knew very little about.
I'm going to be honest. The only thing I know about AI is what I have seen in movies.
Yeah, same. Fully same.
And I see them turning into sentient beings and fucking the shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the shit up.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, like, let's kind of dive into this. And when I was reading about the Google thing, I was just like way out of my element. So we're going back to the very basics. So part one is going to be just an introduction and kind of some of the AI that's being used right now. Part two, we're going to get a little heady. We're going to talk about some of the dangers, some stuff like that. And then part three is going to fully talk about what's going on with Google.
Okay, cool.
Warning, heads up. I will be using the names of some common artificial intelligence that some people may have in their homes that are always listening. So if you have Alexa's, maybe turn them off now, because I don't want to like trigger them.
Yeah, if you're listening without headphones.
Yeah, if you're listening without headphones, just like maybe throw those on. Because I do talk about that a lot, and I have heard that that can happen. I don't have an Alexa. I do say like Siri and stuff too, so she's always listening. So, the dictionary definition of artificial intelligence is the ability of a computer or other machine to perform those activities that are normally thought to require intelligence.
Okay.
And that can be simplified even down, which are like normally thought to require like a human capability. You know, the ability for computers to do something that would normally require a little more to it than just like typing.
Yeah.
Essentially. So what counts as AI? AI is actually heavily prevalent in our lives. It's not just what we think of when we hear that phrase. So we can break down like AI into two types. What they refer to as narrow or weak. I would never call you that, Alexa. I just want to be clear. That's not my term.
I did not make this term up.
That is not me, Alexa, or Siri. I know you're listening.
I don't think you're weak at all.
I'm on my Apple computer. I know you hear me. Narrow AI is more focused to specific tasks. So that's, you know, Siri, those sort of things. Google's AI that's like helping people, you know, track certain algorithms for search engines, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's strong AI, which is something also known as artificial general intelligence. I want to say up front that as of right now, artificial general intelligence is theoretical. It does not currently exist unless you ask the guy at Google. So it's a theoretical form of AI where a machine would have an intelligence that equaled to humans. It would have a self-aware consciousness and the ability to solve problems, learn, plan for the future. Artificial superintelligence, also known as superintelligence, would surpass the intelligence and ability of the human brain.
Could you imagine?
And the thing with that, so there's a term for that within the AI community. It's known as like the singularity. And that's like the moment that AI surpasses us, it then becomes exponentially, like the moment, like it, right now it's all just like a chill, you know, upward slope. But the second it surpasses us, it then surpasses our ability to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. So then it goes from a slope to just a complete upwards. Because of how fast it'll be better at us than programming and upgrading itself so it can upgrade itself better than we ever could. And then it's just never ending upgrading.
That's insane.
It's so scary.
Yes.
So IBM says that while strong AI is entirely theoretical with no practical examples in use today, that doesn't mean that AI researchers aren't also exploring its development. So in order to really understand how we got to where we are right now, we need to break down the history and figure out how, literally how we got to the point of our parents' age, of like no one having computers, to Google in our pockets. Yeah. I mean, technology evolved and there were a lot of important things that happened technologically that if these didn't happen, like we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah.
The term artificial intelligence dates back to 1956 at a conference at Dartmouth College from a man named John McCarthy. But the idea goes back way before that. Ancient philosopher René Descartes, who I fucking hated in college. Hate this motherfucker.
Oh my god.
As a philosophy major, fucking hate him. he used the metaphor mechanical man to describe essentially like what we would now call AI. Mm-hmm. And he was using this in a philosophical debate of consciousness and humanity, but we'll get to that in our, you know, more heady episodes. The birth of artificial intelligence conversation was denoted by Alan Turing's work, Computing, Machinery, and Intelligence, published in 1950. And in that paper, he posed the question, can machines think? Which, what do you mean? Define think. I need.
What do you mean by think?
Well, and like truly, like when you're having a philosophical debate or a conversation, even one of the first things that you need to do is define think so that you can be, or define the terms that you're using. So when you say think, do you just mean process information? Yeah, a computer can do that. Like, what do you mean when you say think?
Yeah.
And that's, and it goes deeper from there. So that's a lot of the conversations we have in this are going to be kind of like that, because we're talking about consciousness and creating that almost. From his first question, can machines think? The Turing test was created.
And that's where a human interrogator tries to distinguish between a computer response and a human text response. And that is like kind of how they were testing artificial intelligence for a little while.
Okay.
And it's like heavily debated and they don't really use that anymore, but it's still referred to as like the first test for artificial intelligence, which is really interesting that they were basing that off of language and like responses. Like that's just an interesting way to test humanity.
Yeah.
Once the idea of artificial intelligence was introduced, things began to take off. And this is for a lot of reasons. One, before 1949, machines couldn't store commands. So you could tell them what to do and they would do it, but then they wouldn't remember what they did. There was no, like, history section of machines.
That feels dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's super dangerous, but, like, the machines didn't have a memory.
That feels like I would lose my Word document in an instant.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, God, this is just so interesting in the context of everything we're going to talk about. This might be my new favorite. This is my new hyperfixation. Okay. According to Harvard. Did you hear that?
Harvard. Were getting into character for that.
I really fucking was. Wow. According to Harvard, in the early 1950s, it would cost upwards of $200,000 to rent a computer for a month.
What?
Yeah. So, like, money was a huge issue as to, like, why there wasn't a lot of advances in this. It wasn't, like, quite accessible to everyone.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
For a month? That's an insane amount, especially back then.
Well, and they, like, filled a room at that point. Like, actually.
So many moving parts.
Yeah, like, they actually, like, filled the room. Like, it was so big. Then there was something known as the Dartmouth Summer Research Project on Artificial Intelligence, hosted by John McCarthy and Marvin Minsky. Like, dude, poor Marvin Minsky was probably bullied so much just for his name.
Because of his name? Oh, yeah. No.
Minsky.
Marvin the Martian.
Minsky. Like, poor dude. So they changed the game by presenting what was known as the first AI program. And it was that conference that led most people in the industry to believe that, like, artificial intelligence and, like, general AI was in fact possible. So as we do, the next 20 years from 1957, the year that my parents were born, to, sorry mom, I just told everyone how old you were, to 1974, technology was booming. From advances in machines learning algorithms to people having a better understanding of when to apply which specific algorithm, everything, our knowledge was just like getting so much bigger. And I didn't really know that, which is like very on brand. That's not how I want to say that. I never quite realized how many advances, I guess mathematically, were happening behind the scenes to make technology be booming.
Yeah.
So when I read the quote of machines were learning algorithms and people were having a better understanding of when to apply specific which algorithm, I was just like, that's really, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool.
And I know, like, a lot of our, maybe not the AI technology, but a lot of the technology for, like, our computers and phones and everything all has to do with stuff that NASA was doing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
that's insane. Which is why I'm so sad that we don't give them a lot of funding, but that's another episode.
It's a whole other topic. Poor NASA. So then our good friends at DARPA were convinced to invest in AI. And in case you haven't listened to our Project Pegasus episode, that's the government's like research program, defense and research program. So they, especially thinking at this time, wanted a machine that could translate and transcribe language. Hello, Cold War. So in the 1970s, an engineer was being interviewed by Life magazine and told them in 3 to 8 years, they would have a machine with the general intelligence of an average human. Like, imagine fucking reading that in Life magazine.
That'd be crazy.
You barely know anything about computers, and they're like, oh yeah, and this is gonna happen. So,
and this computer's gonna think for you.
Yeah, which also kind of explains like the massive amount of like short stories and movies and stuff and books that came out about this subject.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder this was such a popular idea.
The AI taken over.
Yeah. So while we still haven't hit that point yet, there is a little bit more to talk about. This is a quote from Harvard themselves. The biggest issue was the lack of the computational power to do anything substantial. Computers simply couldn't store enough information or process it fast enough. In order to communicate, for example, one needs to know the meanings of many words and understand them in many combinations. Hans Moravec, a doctoral student of McCarthy at the time, stated that computers were still millions of times too weak to exhibit intelligence. As patients dwindled, so did the funding, and research came to a slow roll for 10 years.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
The hype of AI was dying down. And then, in the 1980s, John Hopfield and David Rumelhart popularized something known as deep learning techniques, which allowed computers to learn from experience.
When you put it that, like, I know what it means, but when you put it that way, it's like a little foreboding.
Well, isn't it? They learn from experience. And I put it that way specifically because when you put it in terms of when they can learn through trial and error, people get too comfortable. Mm. And they're like, oh yes, it's very researched. But what you're actually doing is you're teaching something to learn from experience. And you can call it whatever you want. As you guys can clearly see, I'm a little biased. I spent a lot of hours reading the conversation. I'm really scared, y'all. Just gonna be really honest. I'm very afraid.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I haven't spoken with Ashley about any of this that I've read.
None of it. None of it.
That's why
I'm truly going in blind to this episode.
Yeah. Well, and earlier we were like planning out when we were going to record, and we were planning out the next sessions. And I literally was like, "Yep, the sooner the better. The sooner the better," because I just like need to talk to someone about this.
Must discuss this.
But I don't want to discuss this off mic because I think the initial conversation that we're going to have about this is going to be poignant and important.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're recording part 2 and 3 together.
I think that was a good decision.
It definitely was. Because if we had to split it up, those two can't really be split. Okay. Anyway, sorry, everyone.
Let us just plan the episode while we're on air.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
So yeah, the deep learning techniques which allowed computers to learn from experience. And then, alongside that, this guy, Edward Feigenbaum, got these names, introduced expert systems, which mimicked the decision-making process of a human expert.
A human expert?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Okay, so what they would do was that they like programmed in how an expert in a field would respond to any given situation.
Okay, okay. I was like, an expert on humans or
No.
Humans that are experts in their fields. Okay, yes. Gotcha.
Yes, sorry.
Listen, it was just the way you said it.
I totally get it.
An expert human.
Yes. Well, okay, so when you said human expert, like when you're talking about that, that's the dude in Lilo and Stitch. That's the alien.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh my god. I haven't seen that in such a long time. That's so funny.
Yeah. And oh also, god. Ron Weasley's father is a muggle expert. Okay. Anyway. I wish I had a third one so bad. Okay.
Oh.
So in the 90s, we start seeing AI make huge leaps. In 1997, the reigning world chess champion and grandmaster, Garry Kasparov, was defeated by IBM's Blue Deep, a chess-playing computer program.
The way I would just take a 9-iron to that computer, like if I were the world champ and a fucking computer beat me, nah, that's it. Destroying it.
And the thing is like, we know now so much about chess and how it is basically, it is very mathematical.
It is.
So it makes so much sense, but at that just wasn't how we looked at it then, because we didn't break it down mathematically, we broke it down strategically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, I would smash that fucking computer. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah, like there are times where I play a game now and I lose and I want to just fucking throw my controller. Like, how many grown men have broken televisions because AI has been bullshit?
I have watched a grown man chuck two in the same moment at the wall. One broke.
Yeah.
Just why?
I'm surprised only one broke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Luck of the draw. Yeah.
Clearly.
In 1997, that same year, a speech recognition software was developed by a company known as Dragon Systems and was implemented on Windows. So now, like, let's just lay out what we have seen.
Bro, we're 6 years old as that's happening.
We're 6 years old. That's crazy. We're 6 years old and robots are learning from experience. They are now have memories and the ability to store knowledge. They're winning at chess. They have a speech recognition software. And now Kismet, a robot developed by Cynthia Brazil, could recognize and display emotions.
How?
Because all you have to do is program what we know about facial movements into something with a camera, and then it just scans your face, and it knows you're smiling, you're upset. But if you're smiling with these eyebrows, it means something else. Like, everything that we do is just programmed things that we've been taught by our parents. It's information that has been programmed into us visually, auditorially, and now they're doing just that.
I'm uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. I'm very uncomfortable. Dude, and we're still in the 90s and early 2000s.
It's only gonna get worse.
Yeah. There's this thing known as Moore's Law, which estimates that the memory and speed of computers doubles every year.
Just by itself or because of humans doing that?
What we're doing with technology.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a weird question for me to ask. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. The idea is that had finally, you know, in like the early 2000s, Moore's Law had finally caught up and in many cases surpassed what we needed.
Hmm.
So at this point, we, like, our technology could do more than, like, what we actually knew.
Needed it to do.
This, they say, offers a bit of an explanation to the roller coaster of AI research. We maxed out the capabilities of AI to the level of our current computational power, computer storage, and processing speed. And then we wait for Moore's Law to catch up again. We wait for Moore's Law to have the memory and speed of computers double enough every year that we can go beyond that.
Yeah.
And in 2011, IBM's artificial intelligence Watson beat champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter at Jeopardy. Yeah. And then
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. In 2015, Baidu Minhua's supercomputer uses a special type of deep neural network that they call convolutional neural network to identify and categorize images with a higher rate of accuracy than the average human.
That's crazy. The name of it, though, neural network, that really does make me think of brain.
Well, it absolutely is a brain. And I pulled some visuals of some of the digital brains that we're going to talk about that they have built. And it's, yeah, I mean, actually, oh, yeah. So in a few bullets, we get to the digital brain that has been built.
Okay.
So in 2016, a program, a London-based company that had been purchased by Google, DeepMind, had a program known as AlphaGo. And they're powered by a deep neural network. It beats Lee Sedol, who was the world champion Go player, in a 5-game match.
What is that?
Go is an ancient Chinese game.
Okay, okay.
And it's, like, highly regarded. It's, like, one of the four ancient scholarly skills in China.
Okay.
And I talk a little bit more about it later, but I don't think in this episode. Hold on. Okay, here I go. Which I'll probably say this again when we talk about it. So Go is an ancient Chinese board game. It requires intuition, a knowledge and appreciation for positions, and beauty. It's considered one of the four ancient scholarly skills, and it's taught along in schools aside sports and math. So there are so many possible moves in this that it's, like, way beyond chess. And for a long time it was considered, like, nothing but a human brain could play it, basically.
Yeah.
And AlphaGo beat the world's greatest player, an 18-time world champion in 2016.
That's insane.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more a little bit, but, like, the description of the match and everything, like, I watched a bunch of documentaries about it on Google, like, on their DeepMind program, and, like, the way that they talk about it is, like, really scary.
I bet.
Yeah. All right, hold on. I have to organize my screen.
As I say, I'm getting a little freaked out here as we're talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Computers are scary.
Okay. This is the part that really scared me. In the late 20-teens, a company known as Soul Machines, being powered by the brain of a man known as Dr. Mark Sager, began to see if they could basically make a computer-generated baby and watch it develop and learn like a real baby.
What?
So they built out a full digital brain and programmed each of those parts, just like our brain, and it goes out human in computer. And it can have an autonomous conversation, and it will cry, and it draws. And now this company, as of 2022, like, hopped online. It's the thing that I sent you in the text the other day, are now selling digital people for virtual assistants.
Digital people that they have birthed from babies.
Well,
they have grown from babies?
No, they're just adults now, because from baby X, they were able to just, like, then take that and make adults. But they have...
This is crazy.
Yeah.
So they made a computer baby brain, it grew up, and then they cloned it.
Well, baby X is still a baby.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But from her, they learned how to program a brain that can watch and learn like a human.
That is so interesting.
And then took that and made it in, made a new thing where they're grown-ups now. And they're, you can buy digital people.
That is wild.
Bro, they have pores.
What?
Yeah. Like, when you look at them on the screen, there are, like, pores on their faces.
It does not need to be that detailed. What the fuck?
No, it's really scary.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Are there pictures in that article?
No, not in that one, but I'll send you. Send you where to go.
I'm gonna post them on social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have so much. Yeah.
We truly did not need them to have pores.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't need that much detail.
Why are they humans at all? Why isn't it a kitten that just talks to me? Mm-hmm. Why do we always make people?
I don't like it.
This is, like, such a huge problem I have. Why is it always people? So,
humans already suck. Why are we making digital ones?
Right? So now that I've said the incredibly terrifying sentence of selling digital people, let's get into some of the bigger types of AI that do exist and are in use today.
Also, hold on, before we move on, not me criticizing this shit when I literally play The Sims all the time.
Okay, but that's different.
Not me creating digital people and watching their every move.
Yeah, but you're, like, living, you know, like, you're playing a game, they have a house. These are digital people that just, like, do things for you. Like, this digital person's gonna, like, answer your phone and, like, talk to people and be like, yeah, and then she'll call you back later. Bye.
This reminds me very much of when Google decided to let the world know that they were making Google Assistant and how it'll literally, like, make reservations for you by making a whole phone call on your behalf.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that.
That's crazy.
But, like, they're offering it to, like, companies. Mm. It's really scary. It's really fucking scary.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And, like, what? I have so many
questions. Let's just say it, that not everything needs to be automated.
I don't know.
I know that was one of your questions.
It was.
That you sent me to ponder on. I don't think that every single thing that we do needs to be automated. I can make my own damn calls if I need to do that. I don't need it to do that for me. Or just pay a real person so they have a job.
Well, that's the thing, though. Should we have to have jobs? Should we as humans have to participate in that? Or should that stuff be automated and our life is in pursuit of something else?
That's a really good question. Is this something you wanted to ponder on in the later episodes?
That is where the conversation is going, yes.
Okay, so I won't give my answer because we'll talk about it later.
Yes, but yeah.
So now you have to listen to the next episodes.
Yeah, that's sort of where that conversation is going because, I don't know, you and I can talk more about that. We'll talk more about that. Okay, yeah. So AI in medicine. AI, so we're going to start with, you know, disease detection and diagnosis. And here's some stuff taken from Google. Unlike humans, AI never have to sleep. Machine learning models could be used to observe the vital signs of patients receiving critical care and alert clinicians if critical risk factors increase. While medical devices like heart monitors can track vital signs, AI can collect the data from those devices and look for more complex conditions, such as sepsis. One IBM client has developed a predictive AI model for premature babies that has 75% more accuracy in detecting severe sepsis.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? They have robot surgeons called cobots. Which I just think is really cute.
Cobot.
So they don't perform the actual surgery itself.
Okay.
They're used to position a digital microscope, allowing neurosurgeons to get the best view of the surgery and increasing their precision.
Okay.
If the surgeon wants to move the microscope during a procedure, they can do so by simply moving the robot or by directing it to move. So that's for neurosurgeons. I am pretty sure there are some robots. Oh, here we go. The Carlo system performs laser bone ablation. It's a procedure where the part of the bone is cut away to remove a benign growth. There is a robot that does that.
I'm assuming they probably have some kind of system that like maps it out. And it
does that. Well, and laser eye stuff, a lot of that stuff is just mapped out and done mostly by the machine.
Interesting.
AI and medical imaging. Research has indicated that AI powered by artificial neural networks can be just as effective as human radiologists at detecting signs of breast cancer as well as other conditions.
Okay.
Which, you know, what a game-changing thing for low-income
emergency hospitals.
Like, that's, you know, that's huge.
Yeah.
AI can help speed up the process of clinical trial efficiency. So it can help speed up the process by providing a quicker and more intelligent search for medical codes. Two Watson Health clients from IBM recently found that with AI, they could reduce their number of medical code switches by more than 70%.
Wow, that's a lot. Holy shit.
Yeah. Another robotic application is lab automation. So every single day, a huge number of tests are performed in medical labs. And the British Medical Journal estimated that over 277 million blood tests were requested in the UK in 2014 alone. One lab in Copenhagen University was inundated with blood samples and needed to perform 3,000 tests per day. So they added two robots to the process, which allowed them to achieve, like, numbers they never thought were possible. Their workload increased by 20%, but they were still able to deliver 90% of their tests within 1 hour.
Wow, what an improvement.
Yeah, and that's just like a couple of things. Those were a couple of instances of AI in medicine that I pulled from because I knew nothing about them.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to talk about those.
I didn't realize that lab stuff like that could be automated.
Yeah. Dude.
I mean, I literally have friends who work at labs like that, and I, you know, they always tell me about the stuff that they do, so I never imagined that something like that could be automated.
Yeah. And
it's very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, with the advances that we've made in AI technology and robotic technology, it's robots are capable of insane precision. And moving very quickly and don't, you know, need to be treated with rights and don't need a break and don't need all of these things, which can allow for humans to do so much more in a dream world.
In a dream world. A dream world, you know what my dream life would be? I want to be in the valley of mountains, surrounded by wildflowers, in a cabin. I want to be growing my own fruits and veggies, and then I want to package half of them and bring them to a small town that I live maybe a couple miles from, and then sell them there. And that's all I want to do with my life.
Yes!
And just be happy.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I say, like, AI that's in use today, what's the first thing that you think of?
I mean, Alexa, Siri, that kind of stuff. That's not from a movie.
Okay. See, my
because
first...
Because it would either be, you know, that's in use today for us to use, I would think of, like, my phone, my computer, the home, in-home shit. But, like, things that I have seen would be, like, the AI in movies that are, like, predicting things and... Cause, like, fucking shit up. Taking over the world.
Interesting. See, for me, when I think AI, my first thing is self-driving cars.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's what we're going to talk about next.
I was going to say, I, you know, I still don't trust that shit. Sorry, Tesla owners. Your cars are stupid, and I don't trust them to self-drive.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, I barely trust humans to drive.
Yeah. Also, sorry, Tesla owners, but your battery, it's really bad for the environment.
Oh, so. It's so bad for the environment.
No, really, I'm not trying to shit on Tesla owners. I'm trying to shit on fucking Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
So, it's crazy because people don't think that self-driving cars are happening, but, like, they are, very much so.
They are.
Right now.
I mean, haven't we seen the articles where, like, a self-driving car will, like, hit someone or something?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen so many articles about that stuff, and I'm like, okay, it's here, but clearly it's not perfected.
Yeah, so I have a list here of just, like, a bunch of different self-driving car companies.
Okay.
There's one in...
I have a feeling that this list might surprise me.
Oh, dude, this list surprised me. So there's Refraction AI in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They manufacture robotic self-driving delivery solutions for places like restaurants, pharmacies, and grocery stores. They've been rolling out things slowly in Ann Arbor, which is crazy. Imagine a self-driving delivery truck. Boston, Massachusetts, Optimus Ride has a self-driving vehicle company that creates autonomous cars for geofenced locations. As of last year, the company's vehicles received the green light to test in cities and towns within Massachusetts, but not focusing on long distance. There's a lot in California, of course. It's interesting how many of them there are in Boston.
Where's MIT?
Boston.
That's why.
That makes so much sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Harvard and all that shit. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It makes sense now.
Now that you say that.
Yeah.
So there's something called Newtonomy. They're using AI autonomous technology for completely driverless vehicles.
Ooh.
So
I don't trust it.
Nope. They're partnering with Lyft to test the vehicles out in Boston's Seaport District, providing rides to Lyft users and gaining more traction towards transforming the way that people get around.
Okay.
So there are, I mean, this actually is like this list continues to go on for many places in California and all over the country. But self-driving cars are like very much so on the road right now.
Mm.
As you've said, we've all seen the articles. I mean, some of us have seen the articles about, you know, different companies that are
testing self-driving cars.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What the fuck?
Listen, you're still dealing with pain.
Yeah, that's true. I am also on my meds. I think it's because, like, test driving is a sentence, so when I say in cars, so my brain is just...
I absolutely understand why that was difficult.
Okay, so there are tons of companies that are testing these self-driving cars, and we're seeing accidents happen. So here is just two of them.
Okay.
Because we are going to talk about dangerous AI in the next episode. 2018, Uber and other companies began testing these cars. Unfortunately, one of those vehicles struck and killed a woman crossing the street in Tempe, Arizona.
Yikes!
There was a driver in the driver's seat at the time of the incident. The driver was supposed to take over control of the vehicle if there was any chance of an accident, but the driver failed to do so.
I bet they weren't paying attention, because they're like, la-di-da, this car's gonna do it for me.
Ultimately, it was discovered that this safety driver was distracted by her phone at the time of the incident occurred.
No! Ah, humans are so typical.
There have also been several issues with autonomous driving features causing problems on roadways. For example, a Tesla Model 3 electric car was involved in a fatal collision in Southern California in early 2001. The vehicle's autopilot system had been activated when it slammed into an overturned truck in the middle of the night.
Holy shit.
This was just one example amongst many where autonomous vehicles have crashed when their autopilot or other features were engaged.
Wow.
We've also seen things in cars like the crash assistant when their autopilot or other features like or breaks, their autopilot will like break for you when you get too close to something. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if you've seen those commercials.
Yeah.
So like that's something that they're doing, and I don't know about you, but like putting my that scares me. Glitches seem like, too.
I don't know. It breaking by itself, like that feels like that could fuck up at any moment because there's so many variables when you're on the road.
Absolutely.
Driving literal death machines.
Yeah. And then we have AI powered tools in data collection and social media. So they're being deployed by brands to create social media posts, optimize campaigns, figure out what posts are working best, inform social media strategy, measure brand, write ads, like
so many ads,
all of that stuff.
When you don't even discuss it and you just think it in your brain and then you see an ad for it, that fucks me up.
That's AI.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it out loud. I didn't type it to anyone. It was only in my brain, and yet somehow it is showing up on my computer screen or my phone screen, and God, it's creepy.
That's AI, because anyone
it's
else...
It's anticipating.
Well, anyone else who has fit all of these demographics, who is interested in all of these things, is also interested in this. And if you get enough information on someone, and if you can process something quick enough with all of this new information that you get from every website you go to and all of that stuff, then you can absolutely 100% predict what they're going to want. It doesn't take very much information. Like, imagine, you know, how much of a puzzle or how much of a picture do you yourself, Ashley, need to see before you can figure out what it is? So imagine you're a supercomputer that can think in what is 1 second to us is like 32 years to them thinking. It's not going to take very long for, like, they're on a, AI is on a whole different fucking ballgame than we are.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. It does not take very long for them to know everything about us. We're not very complex.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah, dude, we are not complex beings.
Humans really are not.
No.
Though, like, that's not a lie at all. We're very predictable.
Yeah. So Facebook, Insta, all the social media, they use AI to do everything from translate foreign languages to automatically classify images. AI is at the very center of how all social media works.
Don't we know that, this might be a rumor, so correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't TikTok use your camera to scan like how long your eyes are looking at things?
I have heard that.
I don't know if that is confirmed or not. Put an asterisk on that.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically speaking, you do give them permission to use your camera.
You do.
It wouldn't be illegal for them when you're opening, even if you say only when using app or whatever. If you have the TikTok app open, they're legally allowed to access your camera. And there is a reason that Apple stopped, like, there's never been a light on your phone that tells you when your camera is going, like there is on your computer. And, you know, we don't know when our camera is being accessed, is what I'm trying to get at. And I feel as though there's a reason for that. Okay, anyway, take off my tinfoil hat. So the company's AI algorithms predict what content you will engage with most based on your historical engagement, and then the platform serves that content to you. Mm-hmm. Their AI also suggests ad copy and target advertising to audiences most likely to click and act on that ad. The company relies on AI for content moderation, using it to filter out offensive or harmful images, videos, and text on their stupid bullshit scale.
Because if I say men are trash, I'm going to get banned. But people can say, like, you know, some like, threaten a female celebrity and everything's fine. And then Facebook, actually, interestingly enough, has AI specifically targeted for suicidal or harmful language or activity that will then trigger Facebook itself to, like, ask you if you need help. Oh. So if you're showing, like, signs of, like, suicidal ideology to a certain degree at a certain point, it will trigger Facebook's AI and Facebook will, like, check in on you. I don't know if it's, like, via message or if they'll put the suicide hotline up top. I'm not sure. But I saw that in a few places.
I did not know that information. That's very... Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to include that because that's... I mean, AI, it's not inherently bad. It's just that people aren't inherently good.
These computers and supercomputers, it's all based off of our knowledge and how we react and respond to things and human nature. So I'm just like... If you think that that this thing is evil, look at what it's created after. Humans.
Yeah. Well, and we will get into some of the instances in which different AI, you know, were kind of unleashed to the internet and came back after having spent time on 4chan.
Oh no. No.
Yeah.
Displeased. Yeah.
It's really yucky. Bad, yeah.
Gross.
So the rest of my notes for part one were actually to talk about Soul Machine and Baby X, which we talked about earlier. The conversation had kind of come up naturally. And the only thing I didn't mention then is that Baby X visually is based after Dr. Sager's child.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he's like making this child, well, he has a child at home.
I wonder how his child feels about that.
I wonder how his wife feels about it. Were there times where he, you know, was, like, supposed to be with his daughter and he's, like, there showing fucking flashcards to Baby X?
Did he, like, and this is all speculation, like, did he neglect his daughter for his made-up one?
Well, it seemed like his daughter was with him a lot because to help him kind of put his daughter into this program a little bit.
So interesting.
Like, understanding it helped his daughter's brain definitely helped him understand this a little more. But, like, how's his daughter going to feel like when she's a teenager?
Girl, you good? You good?
And also, I will post a picture of Baby X. It is right in the goddamn middle of Uncanny Valley. Oh, she's so uncomfortable. She is, you know what? Actually, let me see. I'm going to...
Text it to me? Yes! I can't wait to see this.
Ooh, God, okay. Yep, that's it. That is it. And actually, I'll send you the picture so you can kind of see her brain, too. Whoa. So that in the image, both times, you'll see Dr. Mark.
Okay.
All right, there she is.
Whoa. That's the robot?
Yeah, dude, that's a robot.
That's a child. That's a human child.
I know.
I'm zooming into its eyes because the eyes are creepy.
Yeah, hold on, Gabe.
Okay.
Gabe's game crashed.
Oh no!
And he hadn't saved in a long
time. Oh no!
Yeah, so he just came in straight up devastated.
No! I knew it was something serious with how long that took. No, Gabe!
Poor kid. Sucks. Yeah. He's playing Spore right now.
I don't know what that is.
You know that game? No. It was made by the people who made Sims.
Oh, nice.
So you, like, start as, like, a little cell, and you evolve.
Ooh.
And your goal is to get from, like, a literal, like, spore amoeba to a civilized society.
How on brand for what we're talking about right now.
Actually, yeah, that's
really weird. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so here's the other picture. Wait, here.
I'm gonna, now, since.
That's right, you were zooming in on her eyes when Gabe walked
so
in.
So I need to, first of all, this is a very white baby.
Oh, it's a very white man.
Oh, yes. With the blondest hair, rosy cheeks. But I zoom in on these eyes. It looks like almost a ring around the pupil, but it doesn't look human. It's very, almost a little bit geometric. Mm-hmm. And it's got like three different hues of, kind of looks like blue and steel. It looks very mechanical compared to the rest of the child, and it's freaking me out when I look at it.
Uncanny Valley. It's almost as like they tried to make it look like she's in a room with a light that she's looking at.
Like a ring of light around the eyes.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling.
When you watch her move, it's really unsettling.
I don't like that.
So, and then those images on the side there, that's what she's looking at.
She's looking at him in a broader aspect, but also directly but
more specifically
in,
looking at that spot on his
head. On his forehead, kind of. Mm-hmm.
And we'll post this picture too, obviously.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's freaking me out. It's freaking me out.
Here's the other one.
That's what her brain looks like?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, the eyes are even creepier in this photo. Because they still have the eyes to show you, like, where on the face it is, but you can see through into the brain. It looks very creepy, y'all.
Well, so what they're doing here is they're showing her a little dinosaur, and they have the eyes in there because they want to see, is she looking at the thing I'm holding up? And then when she does, what parts of her brain light up and respond?
It looks like there's, it really mimics the human brain. I mean, it's got the layers, it's all wavy and irregular.
Well, and you can see the cord in the back with the nerves branching out, the like stem and stuff. I mean, it's a human brain. Yeah, just
that's really creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can like you can actually see all the little veins running through it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I'll be honest. I prefer the second one to the first one.
Really?
Yes.
Because the deeper that I get to look at it, the creepier it becomes to me. And not just because of a visual aspect, but thinking about what's inside of it.
For me, there is something that makes it more of a machine when I can see. It's like looking at my Nintendo.
Okay.
My see-through Nintendo 64. Mm. It's like that. It makes it a little bit more of like, oh, here's the part of the machine that lights up when it does this. But it also just makes me feel like us as humans are more mechanical than we like to think we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think it makes them less human. It makes us more mechanical.
And this thing looks like his daughter? Mm-hmm. This is creepy.
Isn't that a weird thing to do?
I'm just... No offense, sir. What was his name?
Dr. Mark Sager.
Dr. Mark Sager. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just a little freaked out by the eyes. It's too human. And then the eyes are weird.
It's too, well, that's the thing with Uncanny Valley. It's when, you know, something visual that's, you know, computer generated hits something that looks very human, but wrong. And that's a weird evolutionary thing that I think about all the time, that we have been evolved to be afraid of things that look human but we know aren't. Like, that's just an innate thing that we know to fear, which, like, why?
Yeah. Why?
What was mimicking humans that wasn't human that we knew to be afraid of? But yeah, that's this Baby X hits that for me. It's right in the middle of that fucking valley. Yeah. Those eyes. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's really freaking me out, dude.
But yeah, you can go to Soul Machines. Just look up Soul Machines, and they have tons of videos on her. They have tons of stuff about their digital assistants.
We're definitely going to post some of the pictures and link it on Instagram.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But if you want more than what we post, it's all there. Yeah. It's all there.
Woo, Katie. Woo!
That's part one.
Oh, my Lord. It's going to get crazier. I just know it.
It just is. It just is. I mean, the next one, part two, is all dangerous incidents involving AI.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that episode.
So that's two pages single spaced of that. A little discussion, and then we get into the ethics of AI. And then after that, we get into Google.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I have purposely, and I have to keep scrolling past people on TikTok, but purposely, I have not watched anything or read anything that has to do with what is happening with the Google AI situation. Somebody, and I can tell it was such like a good informative TikTok video just from the start, but I was like, no, I gotta skip this. I gotta hear it from Katie first.
Yep. Yeah, there's just so much. Yeah,
I'm excited.
I mean, I've got like quotes from their conversation, I've got interviews, I've got
like his conversation with the AI.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And most of the episode is going to be that,
ooh,
actually.
Ooh, ooh. Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good, Katie.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
But I felt like we needed to kind of talk about AI in general first.
Let's learn what we're going to discuss. Learn about what we're going to discuss, and then we can get into the complex issues.
Well, because when I just read this conversation, I was like, okay, yeah, it's a chatbot. But then when I read all of the stuff that AI can do, and I was like, oh, wait. Oops.
It could get bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to get into it. It's going to be good.
Nice. Before we go today, we just wanted to remind everyone that we do have a Patreon, and we would love if you would join so that we could give you extra content.
Yes, we have some content on there. We are getting ready to just like really push more. We've got like some really good ideas that we're pretty proud of. And it'd be really great if you could do that. And while you're on your computers or your phones, if you could just like hop on to Spotify or on podcasts and give us a 5-star review, that'd be cool too.
That would be cool. And you know, I know you can't do it on Spotify, but on Apple Podcasts,
you can.
You can leave a review. Yeah. You can leave a review.
Oh,
yeah. Wait, okay. For my entire sentence to come out of my mouth.
Never.
You can on Apple Podcast leave us a review as well as a star rating, and it would be so nice if you did. We would appreciate it. It helps smaller podcasts like us get noticed more, and we would really love that. Although, and you know what, thank you so much to everybody who's listening, because our numbers have been absolutely incredible, and we're seeing,
it's been awesome.
It's just like, it's so nice to see the hard work that we're putting into this turn into something, and that people like it and people actually want to listen. And we really appreciate you all so much for tuning in every week.
Oh, truly, it's incredible.
It's been our pleasure. We love this, and we're happy that you love it.
Right? Thank you so much for spending your time listening to us just talk and talk. It's all we ever do.
Ramble on.
Just gabbing away, you know.
With that being said, thank you for tuning in, and we hope that you guys are excited for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and please like hop on to our socials if you guys ever want to have a theoretical discussion about AI and consciousness. Oh boy, we are so here for it.
Our DMs are open. Slide on.
Wide open.
Sprint on in to talk to me about consciousness.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thank you for listening.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.